Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. This is the first episode where I'm fully back from my summer holiday. You know, this year I really took a great break. It's hot in New Zealand. I'll tell you a little bit about it in this podcast and why this podcast is on routines and building them back into your life, especially after holidays or just if you want routines. You know, the dyslexic mind has its challenges when it comes to routines, but it also thrives on them. So let's dive into it. Okay, let's dive into today's episode. The reason I do these type of episodes every year about routines is the way I do it changes slightly. I'm always a year older and I like to at least believe wiser. I like to also realize I've had a heap of different experiences that have helped contribute to how I'm going to do things a little bit differently. So we're really focusing in this episode about routines. Whoops, there we go. That was, if you heard a little like bang there in the mic, I've got a new fidget kind of tool just to go off topic. My partner Holly, my fiance, is into crystals, and this is called hemphrodite or something similar. It's one of the only crystals that is magnetic, and they basically craft it into bullet-like shapes. And I've got three of them that I can fidget with, and I'm told at least they're good for grounding and for keeping yourself grounded, but also they make an amazing fidget toy thing that's just half a touch more adult, but they can be a little bit loud from time to time. So after that tangent, let's drive back on. You can see I've been on holiday, so this episode will be, we may go down a few tangents. I hope you enjoy that, some little pearls of learning throughout it. So this episode was requested in the Adult Dyslexia Secrets Group, or I think we now call it the Truth About Dyslexia Support Group. It was one that we see a lot. How do I set routines? I'm coming into the new year. Everyone, even if they know they struggle with it, likes to set New Year's resolutions to some degree. It's a nice time of the year for a shift. I definitely enjoy it. Some people have completely given up all hope, but there's a part of them that wishes they could. So it really brings back to how do you set routines, especially if you're dyslexic or have ADHD. You know, it can add other levels to it. You know, your brain goes everywhere all the time anyway, and trying to get it to work in a lineal way or a way that actually beds a routine in long enough. You know, we've all heard different variations of it takes 3 weeks to bed in a routine, or the one I heard recently was it's 66 days. I'm sure people just pull this out of thin air or take it from a very poorly managed study. But let's just say it takes a little while to really bed in a routine. And if you're dyslexic, it doesn't take much for you to make a mistake in a routine, break something, feel like it's not perfect or working anymore, and just kind of give up. Put it in the too hard, it's just not working basket. You know, I've done that a lot with food over the years, and I'm going through a process at the moment to improve my eating habits. And I know food is a massive one for me. And it's purely routine or habitual, the changes. I might actually do a health pod next week on what I'm doing. And what I've learned about dieting and losing weight over the years, I'm going to share my thinking because it's good for me, but it'll also help others. And then we'll know in about 6 to 12 months if my learnings and theories pay off, which will be pretty exciting. But for the sake of this pod, let's get back onto track. You know, you can see my brain is just still in holiday mode. So we're going to jump into routines. There's three things I recommend. The first is one of the things that breaks down a lot is our perfectionism. You know, we break something, we do a routine for 4 days, say we give up drinking, we end up then having a drink for whatever reason. We feel peer pressure, it's a social event, and we feel like we will need to for whatever reason. Old triggers appear. We basically break something, whether it's big or small, and then we either give up or we say, you can't do this, there's no hope. And so one key thing is realizing progress over perfection is what you're looking for. You know, don't expect that day one of your routine, if you don't do it perfectly, then it's over. The minute you believe that, and I know how hard it is to not believe that sometimes because it comes up for me a lot. I have to be very conscious of this one. This one sounds so much more obvious than it is. And especially with eating, for example, you know, I'm going on to a relatively strict kind of plan or a way of eating or a lifestyle. I don't like the D word too much. But a certain type of lifestyle that needs to eat in a certain way. But I'll guarantee at some point I will have an ingredient or two at some point that won't fit the plan. Now, another part of me would go, oh, damn it, you knew you could do better than this. You're smarter than this. Why did you do that? What's the point? Well, if you can have that, why can't you have something else? So for me, it's really important about one, being clear about what perfection is, because sometimes I can miss detail on something. I'm either over detailed or I just miss something. I mishear something or I don't listen and I do something wrong and then I get angry. So I need to first know what perfection looks like. I then need to let it go and say, hey, you are going to aim for perfection, Stephen. You're going to go for this. But if something doesn't quite hit the, you know, if you aim for the stars and hit the moon, you're going to be really happy you got to the moon because not many people have been there. You know what I mean? So I'm going to be happy with that. But I have to know what perfection is and I have to let it go and allow myself to move forward. I'll give you a great example. I was this diet, I eat a bit of salsa, you know, the tomato salsa. And there are certain ones that have quite a bit of sugar in them. And if you're not paying attention, you can eat that one instead of the non-sugar one. And so occasionally I've gotten caught out. And so old me would have gone, oh, I've done it again. I must be just addicted to sugar. What's the point of this? You know, am I ever going to, you know, you start going down a rabbit hole. This time I'm like, okay, cool. That is a learning lesson. That is an experience that I'm taking with me. Let it go, move on, keep growing, build the routine. That's one more thing that I can get right next time. That's how I've changed my thinking pattern rather than you're an idiot, you know, which used to be one of them. So that's number one in routines, progress over perfection. Two, external environment. Now this one, you know, I can't actually stress how important it is. You know, we all kind of go, oh, yep, I know that. But how often do we actually do anything about it? If you don't change your external environment, then you don't really know it. You're not really doing it, or you can't even see what to change in your external environment to improve. Now, we've moved house recently, so this one's been really obvious. We've had an opportunity to do a heap of stuff. I can put my health food in the right place in the kitchen. I can start to, because I have to be conscious about what I'm doing, because all my patterns are disrupted when you move house. It's a great way to reset. I'm not saying everyone move house, but it is definitely a way to reset. And I can be really conscious about saying, where do I want the stuff? How can I make sure I don't go into cupboards where stuff is tempting, or I have more of a chance of making an error? Where can I put the healthy stuff at the front to jump out, or the stuff that I know I should be eating so it's front of mind? All of those things become super important. You know, it's the same thing. I remember when I wanted a break from playing the Xbox, you know, this is really hard because it's like a part of you is going, no, don't do this. But it's like if I unplugged the Xbox and I put it at the top of a cupboard and every time I want to play it, I've got to get it out. I've got to replug it in. It makes it a little bit harder. It's like with Uber Eats. If you delete all your credit cards from Uber Eats and then delete the app, it's a lot harder to make the mistake to do it again. I'm not saying you won't break it. It's not the only thing to do. But what happens is it starts to make it a little bit harder. And the harder it is, the more conscious your choice becomes. Do you know what I mean? You can go, okay, well, why did I put that up the top? Or why did I delete my credit card from that? You know, it might not stop you, but it'll get you thinking, oh, yeah, there was a reason because I don't want that. I wanted to slow that down. What can I do instead? And that's where in your external environment, having other options. You know, I know with dieting for me, if I don't have other options, I may as well not do it. If I haven't got a set focus and a set routine, I may as well not do it. But we'll talk about that, as I say, next week. The final thing on routines is, say, I don't want to keep this too long. You know, I love these podcasts around 10, 12 minutes. Is why is the routine important? One of the biggest keys for dyslexics, I believe, is we are why people. Why am I doing this? Why that? Why this? Now, that why doesn't have to be a fact. And I could probably unpack that in another episode, actually. But it doesn't have to be a fact. We have to believe it, whatever it is. You know, for example, you could have two people that believe in different political parties. Whichever one they believe in is truth to them, or is as much as fact to them as they want to believe. It doesn't matter what's real, right or wrong. It's just their truth. So probably should say truth in there. So understanding why the routine is important. Like, why am I losing weight? Why am I trying to get healthier? Why? You know, if I don't have a why, if I don't have a reason for the routine, if I don't spend some time digging into that, if I don't pay it enough attention, like I love to meditate on it, have some music going in my ears and just think about it and visualize it. But it's like, if I don't have a big enough why, there's no point in starting because it will be an automatic failure. So for me this year, I'm getting married at the end of the year. So it's one that's kind of like a pull towards. For me, that's a pull. But I'll be honest, I'm not sure about you. Whys that are away from or going from a negative, you know, kind of situation are always better for me. So I'll give you a great example. So I bought a couple of t-shirts the other week and they were tight on me. I could barely fit one of them. And it was so uncomfortable, I wouldn't wear it. And to me, I basically recognized that was painful, right? It's painful for that to happen. And so I look in a mirror and I go, I can use this. I can create this into my aha moment that helps fuel. I can turn this into the fuel or the why behind why I'm going to stick to this. Every time I'm doing this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a photo, or I do a photo on my phone of me in that t-shirt, and it'll bring me back to that emotion. That'll help drive me to keep going, because there will be moments where I won't want to. And so having that why and spending some time with it, digging it, having a bit of a toward goal and an away from, and I, as I say, away from like whys are much more valuable. But if you don't have that, work out how you can create it, because we sometimes think these aha moments are just luck or serendipity. And, you know, people have different stories for it. Whatever works for you, works for you. But my belief is you can quite easily create them. I wanted to go on a diet. I wanted to get fitter for the wedding. And I said to myself, I'm looking for something that will drive me towards that I notice. And so I ended up finding that I bought something that didn't fit me. It gave me a moment of clarity. And I decided to spend some time growing that. You know, that kind of belief in me, because I knew it would be valuable for my progress. So why is the routine important? Make sure you have that. If you're doing it just for the sake of, you know, I'll tell you, it probably won't stick, if I'm honest. So what are your great routine tips? Make sure you add them into the group. If you're on Spotify, I think you can answer my questions. I'm going to put a question in Spotify, touch wood, if I can make that work. I'm getting used to it. And I'll be back next week with a podcast on health. I'm thinking that might be the good one. So have an epic rest of your day.